All right, everybody, welcome to the E-Commerce Paradise Podcast. Today I have Riley Bennett on. He is an entrepreneur in e-commerce and a fellow digital nomad traveling the world and building and growing online businesses as he goes. Welcome to the podcast, Riley.
Yeah, good to be on, man.
Cool, man. Well, for the viewers, the listeners right now that don't know who you are or haven't been introduced to you yet, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and talk a little bit about your e-commerce journey.
I came to the Dropship Lifestyle 2014 retreat / conference in Chiang Mai, Thailand, 2014. And that kicked off my whole digital nomad career. And at that conference, I ended up meeting a guy who was crushing it with Amazon at the time. And so Parker and I, my partner in crime, best friend since the playground, we came out here together and we decided, all right, let's pivot and go into try Amazon FBA, because our dropshipping stores, we were newbies to online marketing and our dropshipping stores weren't making money yet. And so we quickly pivoted and tried a couple products and one ended up sticking and it's still actually doing well today. And now we have a handful of products and we try to test new products as often as we can, as cash flow allows. And yeah, we've kind of just stayed out here based in Southeast Asia. We've done like a year and a half total in Chiang Mai over the past 3 years and 6 months in Bangkok. So that's where we are now. We've done 6 months in Saigon and yeah, kind of just been living the Southeast Asia lean startup plan, you know, as so many of us are doing. And also I'm a creative person. So after kind of a year of being able to stay out in Southeast Asia, I was like, okay, we need to document this. So I need to, I invested $600 in a little point and shoot G7X. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to start taking my like phone Snapchat stories to the next level and start doing proper edits. So I started to do a proper YouTube vlog edit video at least once a week since September 2015. And that grew into my YouTube channel, which is kind of a thing I do for fun. It doesn't make nearly as much money as my Amazon business, but I'm trying to make more money. But yeah, that's my YouTube thing, which people may know me from. So yeah.
Yeah, I think I first discovered you through your YouTube channel. And that was what drew me to it a lot, was just living that dream, living that life where you're traveling around all the time and eating cool street food and, partying and meeting girls and stuff like that. I think that's what everybody kind of wants to do, is just get out there and live that dream life, right? Instead of having to be stuck in an office cubicle, working that 9-to-5 grind, or whatever. Maybe talk a little bit about what you were doing before that. Yeah. I know you were doing door-to-door sales, right? Things like that.
Yep. Yeah. So, yep, that was me. I was doing door-to-door. So it was actually my summer college hustle. So I did it all 4 summers during college. And ended up sticking with it for 2 years year round after college, because I was making decent money and I kind of just wanted to save up money doing that. It was kind of an independent thing. I didn't want to jump into like a real serious career or anything like that. And so ended up doing it 2 years year round after college, and ended up just being very typical story for a corporate salesperson, just so burnt out trying to make quota every other week. And it actually kicked off the whole Thailand journey because Parker ended up doing a semester abroad in Thailand. And so when he was over there or over here in Bangkok, he invited me and a couple of buddies to come out to visit him. And so we did that. And so I did a 2-week vacation to Thailand and we came back and we were like, dude, that was way too short. And we're both like, yeah, dude, let's just go back and maybe work abroad for a year and have that live abroad experience, very different than studying abroad or just visiting. And so we set our minds on, all right, let's just go live abroad, whether it's Thailand or another country. Let's just like work abroad for a year before we like get into our real jobs. And so we started watching a lot of YouTube and videos about Thailand, naturally, because we were just there. And I actually made a little my first like vlog edit filmed on my phone of our 2013 trip. It's actually still on my channel very early on. And yeah, stumbled on Johnny FD's YouTube channel, and he announced that him and Anton were doing the conference in Chiang Mai about dropshipping, about online marketing in general. And so me and Parker were like, yup, screw teaching English. Let's go learn this e-commerce thing so we can chill in Thailand like Johnny's doing. And so, yeah, basically we saw Johnny and we were like, if he can do it, why not us? So 3 years later, we're still here. And I got Johnny's little microphone now. I just upgraded.
Yeah, best decision, best mindset to have too. You know, if someone else is already out there doing it, you know, why can't you too? So it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a mindset. Like, we're lucky to have that mindset, because I realize some people will see that and have the opposite mindset. Well, he is just lucky. He, you know, we can't do that. He's got blah, blah, X circumstances. But yeah, we're just lucky to have that mindset. Like, if he's doing it, like, why not us? So, yeah.
Blessed. Yeah, that's great. So talk about maybe what got you into Amazon FBA. I know you were doing trying drop shipping before that and stuff like that. What situations made you switch and decide on doing fulfillment by Amazon?
Our dropshipping stores, let's see, this was coming up into December 2014, and our dropshipping stores were not making sales, but maybe they were live for maybe 3 to 6 months. And we were total newbies, and we were only relying basically on Google PLAs. And in order to make enough money for a sale, we'd have to pay all the profit in Google PLAs. So it wasn't making money, but we weren't doing any of the obvious things that I see now. Like, we weren't even doing Facebook retargeting. We weren't even doing Facebook ads. We weren't even doing any of the tricky traffic that I call it. We weren't even doing any of the social media, Pinterest, all the, you know, tricky marketing stuff. We're just doing PLAs. So it was breaking money or even losing a little bit of money every month. And so after a few months of, you know, losing money, and we were in Chiang Mai, and honestly, not that many people that were newbies were making money in dropshipping with their dropshipping stores. So we looked over at Kai, and he was like, yeah, I just made $5,000 on Amazon, and I just started 3 months ago. We were like, all right, let's try that out. And so, yeah, we took the last bit of our savings and we invested like $1,000 each. So $2,000 total in a test order of 200 units. And that ended up catching on.
Nice. Can you go over the process that it was like from the very beginning? I mean, that I know you have to find the products first, and then you have to bring them in and test them out, and then make sure you want to sell them and then import them. Maybe you can explain that a little bit more in depth.
Yeah, for sure. So the whole Amazon method, I guess, that I call it, which is now the name of my course, which I always just called it the Amazon method. Like, even before I had a course, I would just say, yeah, this is the Amazon method. You do product research, and then you do test orders, and then you throw it up on Amazon. But yeah, it's basically you do market research to find out where there's some opportunity to get sales on Amazon in some little small little niche. So it starts off with, we probably comb through Amazon for a good 3-4 weeks, and you're just making a whole spreadsheet and you're crunching the numbers and seeing, okay, there's an opportunity here. This is too flooded. You know, there's a lot of sales here, but not that much supply. So it's a big supply and demand combing through the desert thing. And yeah, it takes at least a month, and it's not fun and it's tedious. And just like any niche research, like in drop shipping, you just have to freaking comb through the internet and find a combination of a niche that you are kind of excited by, maybe a product that you like, and then something that, has, you know, space there in the supply and demand numbers, and then also a product that you can make better. And so, looking back, the products that have been successful compared to the ones that we tried that were not successful were the ones that we made better, the ones that we made unique. And so all of the products that we launch now, we try to make sure that they're physically different, they have physically different, unique features that allow them to stand out on Amazon. Because like any marketplace online, like any store, any mall, any marketplace in the world, it's competitive. And so we've learned that you have to stand out if you want to do well. And, but yeah, it's, yeah, of course you start out with a test order. So maybe $1,000 or $2,000 worth of test order inventory. And yeah, so you're ordering that wholesale from Alibaba.com, and you can private label it. You can put your own logo on it, put your own custom packaging on it. And that's kind of the private label or white label method. So you're buying it, rebranding it, adding anything additional to the package, adding any customizations to the product that they can do. And they will ship it to Amazon's FBA warehouses, and it arrives in America in some boxes, and Amazon scans it, boop, and it's for sale on Amazon.com.
So you don't have to actually manage any of that inventory between China and Amazon FBA. You can just send it directly to them.
Yeah, it goes straight to FBA. Oh, okay. Yeah, you go in your Amazon Seller Central and you say, you know, send inventory, replenish inventory, and they'll give you a PDF, depending on how many. If you have 10 boxes, they'll give you 10 PDFs that's got shipping labels, shipping barcodes, and you email that to your supplier and they tape it on all 10 boxes and they give it to UPS or whatever it may be, DHL, and they get it to Amazon.
So at that point, I guess you just have to make the sales page on Amazon, right? And take pictures of it, of the samples that you get, I'm assuming, and then obviously promote it somehow on Amazon. Can you talk a little bit about that process and what your tips are for that?
Yeah. Yeah, good photos are important. Depends on your budget. But if you only have your own phone, you can do it with your own phone. You can get one of those like little white boxes, you know, like portable little studio things, and you can do it with your phone, and that's fine. Personally, we've used Viral Launch. They're a company that like offers kind of everything, like all the software tools and the product photography. We use them for the product photography for our main product now, but this was kind of down the road. But yeah, get a photographer. You can send your product to photographers on Fiverr or whatever to do professional shoots. You should probably get photos of it in use. So like lifestyle photos, people actually using it in real life. Those are good. But yeah, of course, all the basics, like any e-commerce store, have good photos, have copy that's going to stand out and relate to them and get them to buy. And yeah, good images, good photos. Of course, you want to, you know, test different titles and just all the same kind of e-commerce stuff. But the sales page stuff is not too complicated. There's little things that you can optimize, but yeah, that's really all you have to do on the Amazon page front. And then as far as advertising it, when your product gets into Amazon, you're going to want to get reviews fast. And you're also going to want to, after you get probably 15 reviews, utilize PPC, which is pay-per-click paid placement, where you'll be at the top of some keyword result, just like similar to Google, and it will say sponsored. You'll see that on Amazon. Sure. And so yeah, with reviews, the policy is always changing, but there's many different ways to get reviews. There's companies that have big email lists, and they'll promote your product basically for a discount. So basically at first you're promoting your product at a very low price and saying, you know, launch special, blah, blah, blah. And there's companies such as Viral Launch also does this. We actually use them first, and they'll promote your product to their big email list of customers that are, you know, interested in getting deals, and they will follow up with them and hopefully they'll leave a review. So there's these types of services. There are also like Facebook, Amazon review groups, which it's up to you, because some of these, so what Amazon is trying to do is Amazon is of course trying to get rid of these incentivized reviews, get rid of these people that everything they get off of Amazon is for a dollar and all their reviews are 5 stars. So a lot of these customer reviewer accounts are getting wiped, and a lot of Amazon sellers have seen that, It's called the Great Amazon Purge. So Amazon is going after those type of customers that are reviewing everything automatically 5-star and everything they order is at a discount. These full-time reviewer type people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's always, you know, new ways of doing things, always updated ways. But yeah, at first you have a big promotion, just like any product, any car that comes out, there's some, you know, promotion or giveaway, any type of company that does giveaways when it first launches. So yeah, that's that. And then after you get probably 15 reviews, you turn on PPC and try to get more sales velocity from that. Because Amazon's algorithm is based in combination of sales velocity and then, you know, conversion rate, return rate. And so, but sales velocity is a big one. So you're going to try to get your sales velocity up in the beginning, try to get on page one of some of your best keywords. And then if it's an actually good product, that then people will discover it organically and they'll buy it and they won't return it and it will get good reviews and then it will stay on page one like some of our products have, and they will still be on page one hopefully 2 years later. So at the end of the day, you have to come out with a good product or it will get bad reviews and it will be crushed. So come out with a good product that you like, then other people will probably like it and they will probably leave a favorable review and then you're in the money. But the days, like maybe when we started back in 2014, it was maybe a little bit less crowded on Amazon. So you could kind of throw up like a copycat thing and still get like a little bit of the waterfall that was just raining on Amazon, because there was not that much, not maybe as many sellers for these like small little niche items. And but now it's probably definitely more competitive and you just have to stand out now, because like China is coming into the game. Like direct wholesalers are selling from China are selling on Amazon. So there's lots and lots of copycat stuff out there. So you got to stand out in 2018 and beyond. That's what I think.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. That's great. Thank you for that whole process breakdown. So I have one question specifically. When it comes to niche selection, what makes like a product like a really good product for choosing a niche besides making it more unique? Is there something that you look at as far as like trends, or is there anything you look at as far as like evergreen products, things that are being used more, like technology? Is there a certain direction you usually like to go, or how do you usually do this?
I would say my number one thing that people ask me, people in my course and people in my mastermind group, you know, when I'm giving them product advice, because I know this is, as you understand, like niche selection, you know, you have your own course, is a huge, huge part of starting an e-commerce. You know, you have to be smart when it goes into the niche selection. Like, I know like when you start, like you want to get going really fast, but at the same time, you have to humble yourself, take your time and be smart before you choose a niche. And that's why I'm trying to offer one of the more of these one-on-one niche advising calls like you are for drop shipping. I'm trying to offer more of these to people because I realize there's so much value in that, in hearing someone's one-on-one situation. You know, you can't record a course and be like, here's the golden formula for picking that perfect niche. But yeah, there's no golden formula. I mean, my main thing is trying to help people come up with ideas to differentiate their products to be successful. It's usually because that startup is smart and it has a good idea for a product. So I think the days are kind of waning where you can just go on Amazon, pick something, same, same, and be successful. I think you have to pick something and also have a combination of a good idea that's going to make it stand out. So yeah, that's my main thing. But as far as like evergreen compared to seasonal, I know some people that are successful in seasonal, and maybe you can have multiple seasonals. Maybe you can have a summer product and a winter product. That way you're making money year round. Personally, we are going with the sticking with one category and kind of building a brand around that. So we're not kind of not going out into other types of niches, because, you know, we can only launch as many new products as our cash flow allows, as anyone in a physical physical product inventory business knows, the cash flow can be tight. There's many, yeah, every niche is its own story. And so that's why, again, I try to help people one-on-one try to come up with ideas to stand out in that niche.
That's cool. Yeah, I think it's important. I know niche selection is the biggest thing that is an ops tool when people are just starting out. So I love that you're offering those niche selection, you know, coaching sessions. I think that's awesome. I think, you know, definitely in the beginning when I was just starting out, it was the biggest struggle for sure. Check out the Amazon Method. I believe it's theamazonmethod.com, right, Riley?
Yeah, theamazonmethod.com. Cool. Yeah, or you can check out my blog, livingthatlife.com, yep, to kind of know more about me. It's got a link right on there. But yeah, man, I'm trying to follow Trevor on his online course Hustle.
You got a free mini course, yeah, right? I saw that.
Yep, a recent free mini course. So okay. I did that to people ask me all the time, like through my YouTube channel and in the comments. Like, obviously, you know, my channel is called Living That Life. It's all about fun and vlogs and food and partying and travel. But people are like, okay, bro, like, we get it. How are you living that life? How is this possible, dude? And so after about a year and a half of YouTubing, I started getting the same questions every day. I was like, okay, I think it's about time I record myself answering these questions, right? And so I was just stupid to not make an online course. And so that kind of just stumbled into making this online course because that's what my audience was asking me. Naturally, of course. They're like, okay, dude, show us how to live that life. Don't just be bragging out there on camera. Like, show us how we can do this. And so this is kind of transitioning into my new calling, is helping more people figure out a way to work online or work remotely, whether it's Amazon, whether it's drop shipping, whether it's freelancing, whether it's digital publishing. I don't care what it is. I want to just help people figure it out to be able to live this life, because, you know, we've been blessed to, you know, in every business, it takes a little bit of luck with timing. But of course, it's smart work compared with hard work, compared with your ambition. But in any business, it takes a little bit of luck. So, you know, we've been lucky to be able to live this digital nomad life. And I know everyone doesn't have the perfect circumstances to make it happen. You know, it takes money to make money. It takes money for starting up Amazon and drop shipping too. There's startup costs. But every type of business might have its own, it might have its fit for different people. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm trying to make my blog into, is help people figure out what online business might be right for them and then go from there, because it's a huge thing. Like, it's like, all right, Riley, I know I want to have this remote career, this laptop style traveling all the time career, but I don't know where to start. And so I can't just say, all right, try Amazon or try this, try this, try this. I want to be able to work with people like you and share more stories of different business models so people can kind of pick and choose. All right, maybe this sounds like it's good for me, and go. So yeah, that's kind of my new calling and what I'm trying to do with my blog, livingthatlife.com, is have resources for people to be able to get started towards living that life.
Yeah, it almost feels like paying it forward, right? In a sense.
No, yeah, exactly. YouTube. I'm a product of the YouTube generation. YouTube changed my life, so I'm trying to give it back.
There you go.
YouTube.
Yeah. Give back to the kids, right?
Yeah. We do it for the kids.
Up, you know, we're in our late 20s, 30s now. It's crazy, man. Like 10 years ago, things were different, you know, and there's so much more opportunity now. And, you know, one of my students is actually a young Thai girl, which is really cool. She's 18 years old in Thailand, starting a business in the U.S. dropshipping. I'm just like totally blown away at her hustle. It's crazy.
Dude,
that's awesome, man. Someone 18 years old starting a business in the U.S., you know, like, good for you. You go get them. I'll give you unlimited support. You're awesome. She's going to be a really fun case study when it all finishes out. So excited about it.
Dude, heck yeah. Yeah, looking forward to that case study. And yeah, for what it's worth, I have met, for some reason, all girls, but I've met three different girls through Chiang Mai and Bangkok who are doing some sort of online selling, whether it's in Thailand through Line two are actually doing importing products made in Thailand and exporting that into Amazon.com. So yeah, it can be done. You know, you can start small and scale up, but yeah, there's local Thai people doing it. I know many Vietnamese hustlers that are doing online selling, and yeah, man, opportunities there. If you want it, but you got to want it really bad.
Yeah, that's true. Kind of leads me into my next question. When it comes to choosing what online business model you want to pursue online, everybody kind of wonders like what the pros and cons are. Can you talk more about like the pros and cons of Amazon FBA?
Yeah, I guess the cons is that you have to buy the inventory up front. So maybe bigger upstart, bigger startup as far as cash. But you can get started with a test order for like $500 and test that out with maybe, you know, however many units that is, 100, 200, 300, whatever, depends on the unit price. But then obviously, yeah, the pros is Amazon handles all of the shipping to your customer, all of the, not all of the customer service, they handle the returns, which is nice. So like customer clicks return, we don't even know. Like we just check our data. Okay, they returned it. We don't handle the returns. The customers do send us messages. So we have a VA who does our customer messages, maybe a few emails per day. But the Amazon does handle all the customer service when it comes to the shipping of it and the logistics and that sort of thing. But yeah, it's got its pros and cons for sure.
Do you guys take phone calls for the Amazon sales or is that all?
No, we have not done any phone calls.
I mean, because with high ticket dropshipping, phone sales is kind of a big part of it. Not a big part, but like, it depends on the niche for sure, but it can be a big part. So I can see that as a big benefit with Amazon FBA is that you're not having to take phone calls at 2-3 in the morning if you live in Bangkok or Bali or something like that or travel.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we don't have a phone contact number, just email. Cool. Customers can message us within the Amazon system. It's really up to you. You can get started. I would say maybe have at least $500 to $1,000 to invest in a test order. And then after that, depending on the lead time of your product, let's say it takes 30 days to get produced in China, you know, when you order more, it's going to be a tight cash flow issue if you're only starting with $1,000. So what you may have to do is go look for investors, look for a silent partner, look for other entrepreneurs that you know. And if your test order is really successful, show them the numbers and be like, all right, we have this product, it's proven to work, it's getting good reviews, but we don't have the cash flow to buy 1,000 units right now. We don't have that 10 grand to buy 1,000 units. So you may have to, utilize your Facebook contacts and see who knows investors out there and get a silent partner. So you may have to do that. And that's actually what we did at the front, at the beginning. We proved our 200 units worked. And we actually, that was a prototype. And we wanted to take this prototype success and improve on it, make it even more high quality, make it even more durable. But of course, that's going to be expensive. So we utilized our Facebook contacts, so to speak. And we made this whole business plan with projections and everything. And they have to go out and get investors once they've proven that they have the product that the market likes.
Incredible. Yeah. What it takes, you know, is sometimes it's just some grit and getting out there and networking and figuring it out, right? Just getting through the hard times and getting to the good stuff. I kind of had to do a similar thing in my journey is actually get a partner when I first started out too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I actually recommend that to a lot of people who don't have like credit established or whatever, is that they're going to need a partner with high credit. Or in your case, with Amazon FBA, private labeling, a lot of cash up front to invest.
Yeah.
Important. I do have a question. By the way, as someone who is like already doing e-commerce, like dropshipping, high ticket dropshipping, is there a way they can get into Amazon FBA with high ticket products? Do you have any experience with that kind of a thing?
I don't know anyone specifically that is fulfilling by Amazon these big heavy things. You'd have to check the Amazon storage fees and see if the margins made sense.
Okay.
Because I know that, the bigger it is, they're going to charge oversized fees. And I don't know the specific how much it is. You know, it depends on every product. Mm-hmm. But, I know people do buy things from A to Z on Amazon. I actually have heard of people selling close to the $100 range and having really good success. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's big. Obviously, if it's 18 inches or less, you're not going to get hit with that $2 oversized fee. And I'm sure there's like another tier of oversized fees. But I would say there is a good chance there could be a lot of opportunity in the 100, 200 and plus range, because it's going to be less competitive because it's harder to get into for small sellers like us.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah, I would say it's probably definitely something to look into.
Yep. Sounds good. Well, thanks so much for being on, Riley. I'd like you to tell the viewers maybe where they can find you and like what where they can get your free niches list and your free mini course.
Yeah, livingthatlife.com is my blog, and you can find all the resources there. And yeah, you can find me there, livingthatlife.com, and YouTube, Living That Life.
I'll make sure to link
or just search Riley Bennett.
So you guys can easily click there and check out the course. And, you know, get some private one-on-one coaching from Riley. I think it's totally a good idea. I think the best thing in the very beginning when you're just starting out a new business is to get mentorship. Honestly, like I had to figure out a lot of things on my own. It was a big pain in the butt. But as soon as I was able to get a mentor, I was, you know, just fast-tracked success. So definitely pay someone a little bit of money, right, who has, you know, a decades or more of experience in that field. And you're going to do way better than if you just try to figure out on your own. So.
Yeah. It's a major struggle. So, you know, trying to offer my experience where I can.
Cool, man. Well, thanks a lot. I know everybody appreciates it. I definitely appreciate you being on and offering all the wisdom you've had over the years and everything like that. So just wanted to say thank you. And hopefully to see you out in Bangkok or maybe in Europe this summer or something like that.
Yeah. Maybe run into you in Bangkok again. I ran into you the other week. Outside the Starbucks. But yeah, maybe this August we're going to be doing Eastern Europe. What about you?
Sweet. Yeah, we'll be out in Europe too. We're not going to do Eastern Europe, but we are going to be in Germany, Amsterdam, you know, Italy. So who knows?
Living that life, man. Paradise.
Living that life. That's right.
I tell you, it may not be easy, guys, but it's worth it. And that's what we're trying to do with this YouTube thing. We're just like, once you get over to the other side, and of course, there's no end game. You know, as an entrepreneur, it's always you're doing the next step. You're doing the next thing. But, yeah, guys, it's the little things. Being able to wake up whenever you want is my favorite thing. It's the little things, you know?
The little things, yeah. And it's a lot of little things to make a big thing, but like exactly. You said, it's worth it. Cool, man. Well, thanks again, Riley. And we'll catch you later.
All right, cheers.
All right, see you next time.